Hour number three of D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you, and at 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, we are always joined by Predators General Manager Barry Trotz. So with that, I turn things over to Willie Donick.
All right. Thanks, Connor, and Trotz, good to talk to you as always here, and let's start off with what you're seeing here as the team continues to, as they keep saying, win the weeks, right? They know you may not be able to win every game. There's pressure. You're behind. You've got to make up ground. But if you just have that mentality of winning the week, you seem to see some more consistency here. They seem to be adding layers to the formula. We've been noticing how much more they're getting on the rush now. Andrew Burnett's talked about that. How sustainable do you think this is as you watch them continue to improve?
Well, I think that the group, you know, if you stay healthy and, you know, sometimes things come together. It takes a little bit of time. Like I said, we've changed a lot of people since last year. We've got a lot of youthful players. You know, we've got some guys back from injuries, what have you. But I think it's fairly sustainable. I mean, you're sort of getting an identity. I like the fact that we are transitioning a lot better, breaking out, getting skin to allow our D to wheel the net and make that first pass a little bit more. I think that we've been pretty resilient in terms of, you know, especially on the PK at certain times. And I think Juice is, you know, I don't look at save percentage, but I do look at timely saves, and we were getting really timely saves from Juice to allow us to stay in games or to win games. So I think it's fairly sustainable. But, you know, you're always in this league. It's as soon as you say something like that, it's it can go south in a hurry. So we're going to, I think we're building our game. I think in addition of getting Cole Smith back, and you see Big Reed Schaefer and back with Big Mac, I think that a fourth line identity could be there. I like the fact that it doesn't matter if it's Steven Stamkos or Forsberg, you know, playing with O'Reilly. They seem to be doing something offensively, and then the emergence of Luke Evangelista, I think he's starting to take the next step. It's more in the not only in the game sense, but you know, I think he's skating better. I think he's transitioning that I'll say a young man's body into a real good pro athlete, and you're seeing a lot of the positives of that. And I think our defense corps has been pretty stable. It hasn't haven't had a lot of injuries there. The same six defensemen have been playing probably the last four or five games. Justin Barron is probably going to get back right after the break here. So, knock on wood, we can stay fairly healthy and stay fairly consistent.
Barry, you mentioned Evangelista, and obviously he's always been a popular player. He's got that charisma to his game. But you just mentioned something. You used the word becoming a pro, right? And Andrew Burnett's used the word maturing. You've seen a lot of players go through that process as a coach. So when did you start to see it with him?
Well, I think I look back probably for me about 10 or 12 games back. I mean, he came back, obviously missed training camp, and you know, you could see the things that Luke can do, obviously with his good hockey IQ and his his ability to make plays offensively. But you didn't see the skating or the some of that wall play that he was, I really think he was really good at. He got away from it, and it started coming back, and then I would say in the last dozen games here, he's just skating at a different level. I think he's sharper. Even when he pulls up into the offensive zone, he's looking for that second wave. It's a lot sharper. It's not, everything's a lot cleaner. He's got the confidence right now with the puck. I think that's you watch in the morning skates or in practice, you know, he's out there early, which a lot of times the young guys don't take that initiative. And obviously a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who we have trouble keeping him off the ice, he's pulled people into the fray. He pulls people into the fray, and just having people like him and some of our veteran players, it really helps the young guys. I mean, I think when they have a whole group of young guys all by themselves, there's no one really leading the way. So, they're just trying to fill it out a little bit. So I think having a couple of those guys in our locker room really helps those young guys. And you know, even a guy like McCarron with a guy like Reed Schaefer. I mean, those and Cole Smith, those guys are great guys for, you know, the young guys, be it, you know, Schaefer or LaRue or Kemmel, some of those guys that come into the lineup and sometimes end up being on the fourth line. They're just really good leaders of young men, and that's what you want.
I had a good exchange with A.J. Molesko, who's going to be on the call tonight for ESPN+. Plus. She says to say hello, by the way. She obviously worked with Barry Trotz, for people that don't know, in his days with New York, with the Islanders. She was part of the broadcast crew, does a great job for ESPN. But she was asking, we were talking about Steven Stamkos. We're noticing him a lot more. He's scoring in different ways. And I hear all the time from when I ask people about it that it was, I don't know if I would say this, and Barry, maybe you can help fill in the gaps here, that it's been a process getting him to evolve his game. When you look at the staff, how did that process work behind the scenes? Is that a particular coach going to him? Is that him buying in? How does that work? Because he's added some layers to his game based on what we saw the year before, where it was really you have to get it to him in his spot or else it's not going to happen. Now he's finding different ways to score.
Yeah, no, that's a good job of the coaching staff. Like today we didn't skate, and I went down to the meeting rooms today, and it was busy. I mean, the coaching staff has done a really good job, and that's some of the things that, you know, you look at. Everybody looks at the wins and losses, and really, you know, even the fans don't get to see the layers, you know, down in the room and the coaching rooms and all that. But you know, you go down to the second floor. Our meeting rooms, and then, you know, you got all your coaches, and they've got little pockets of players, and they're going over their shifts, and they're going over things, and that's a lot of time and energy. And I give Andrew and the staff a lot of credit. And it starts with Andrew, usually with your more veteran players, your top guys. Usually, that's the responsibility of the head coach. And I think Andrew has got to Steven. And you think about Steven, he's played it's undeniable he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He has scored, you know, so many goals, and he's scored so many from that spot. And I had Alex Ovechkin in that spot. And when they get to a certain age, or your team is not as strong, or you're missing an elite guy in the middle to get him the puck where he wants to, they have to evolve. And sometimes it's tough because we always say it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, but that's the part where the player, you know, has to see that he's not going to have much success if he's just being stubborn and saying it always worked that way. And then, but you know, that's what makes these guys great, is they will stick with their game as long as they can. And then they go, you know, I got to change something and make something happen for myself. And they start evolving with the help of the coaching staff, with their teammates. And you look at the Stevens four goal game. I mean, those are three of the four goals. I think he was inside the dots or around the net, which is not, usually Stevens out on that flank there and shooting pucks, and he did it different ways. So I think he's skating much better. The one thing that I would say about Steven is last year was really hard. You're making a transition from Tampa to Nashville. I think he feels like, you know, this is his team now, and he can have an effect on this team. And it's taken a lot longer than I thought, but I feel that way, that Steven feels like he's a big part of this hockey club, and he's helping the young guys, and guys like him and O'Reilly and Forsberg and Yossi and that group of guys, with some of the help of McCarron and some of those guys have really been good with the young guys, and they've got a really close unit right now.
Barry Trotz is with us. He is up in Minnesota. The Predators take on the Minnesota Wild tonight at 7 o'clock. You can hear it here on 102.5 The Game. Predators are 9-4 in their last 13. And, Barry, basically the only teams you guys have lost to are elite, elite teams. And you were talking about that with us last week. Colorado and Carolina might be on another level than just about anybody else in the league. Where do you now put Minnesota? This is a great test for your guys right before Christmas, because Minnesota has obviously made the big trade. They're really good as well. What kind of test are you going? What are you going to find out about the team tonight?
Well, I think you're going to find out what you found out. Hopefully before. I mean, these games on the day after Christmas and the day before Christmas, I've seen them, and you know that, Willie. They can go either way. They can be great matches, or they can be really loose matches. So hopefully we got really good focus. I'm hoping this is another benchmark type of game, especially with the we've had some with Colorado, we've had some with Carolina, who are elite teams. I think Minnesota's joining that group of teams right now, especially with the Hughes trade. They're a veteran group. They've got lots of scoring. They got lots of size, and their back end, obviously, with Hughes and Faber on the back end, and their goaltending tandem is really strong. So I think by having to play Colorado, Carolina, Minnesota, all these teams, they are the best development tool you can have. You have to play good against them. They have to be detailed and have to be committed. And I think by playing these teams in succession, we've had to buy into that. And it's a credit to the players. Number one, they've put forth the focus and the effort, and the coaching staff who have led them. So, this stretch has been really tough, but it's been a great development tool for not only for our young players, but for our team to find its identity.
We'll talk with Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators GM. Now, Barry, you talked about how tough this stretch has been for you, and it has been. But tonight after you play the Wild, you got a three-day break here for Christmas, and then you jump back in it, and your season really gets going because you got a bunch of games in January leading through February. How critical is it going to be to continue to, have the momentum that you have, take it into the Wild game, and then have that break? How important is it to get guys rested? Because after that, you're not going to have no more than, a two-day break, if that, between games?
We're playing every 48 hours or less, probably for the all the way up until the Olympic break. What you need is you're going to need some luck, but you're going to need consistency. Mm-hmm. You're going to need all four lines going over the boards as much as you can. You're going to need solid goaltending. You need a little luck on the way. And I think the coaching staff and our sports science group has really, really tracked the rest recovery. We've done a really good job. It's something that we've really added to our group is the next level of care for our players. And I think it's paying off in terms of, we have some older players that have been fairly healthy and fairly energized through the whole year. I think that staff gets unnoticed. They're the guys that get the guys ready night in, night out, and make sure they're fueled up in the right way. So I give them a lot of credit. But I think what you're going to find is this is a real good test for us. We can stay focused. I think it's really good for all the players to get a mental break because we're coming out of the right after Christmas, you don't get a mental break. You have to be on every, like I say, between 36 and 48 hours to play another game. So, I think the players, I want them to enjoy the Christmas, and take a mental break. Obviously not enjoy it too much in other areas, but, but I think it's really important for them because, you really got to take from the Christmas break to the Olympic break, and that's you got to segment this season. That'll be a really, really important stretch.
Talking to Predators general manager Barry Trotz. Barry, you've gotten some key production from your young guys this season, but I want to focus in on one specifically that's been playing some quality time and getting some quality production. Reed Schaefer played 12 games, has 3 goals. What kind of an edge does that guy provide you as you guys are kind of getting hot at the right time?
Well, the thing with Reed is he's just getting his first taste of the National Hockey League. He's got 3 goals, which is great. But when you get production from your fourth line, if you will, it's great. But the thing that I like about him is he's 6'5" and he can skate. He's got a little bit of edge and he's got some skill. And he's just he's just a puppy right now. He's learning the game. He's and one thing we found with Reed, you give him a year,
he figures it out. Give him a year, he figures it out at every level. And so this is, you know, year one. So hopefully for him, you know, he gets a real strong learning year here and then takes it to the next level. But that line has a real good identity. I mean, you get McCarron and Schaefer standing next to Cole Smith. Cole Smith is now the runt of the litter there. So, and they can play against anybody, and they can wear you out. They can lean on you in terms of the size element. They can get on the forecheck. That's a line that if things aren't going really well, they can get out there and get real physical. Maybe change the tone a little bit on some teams. So. I think Reed's going to be a really important player for us for a number of years. So it's really exciting because you look back at what we're trying to do in the last number of years. That, when I arrived here, David did a great job of starting the process of getting his draft choices. Well, that first sort of draft class that we started this process was Reed Schaefer was in that Ekholm trade. Matthew Wood was in the first pick. Mullendyke's on his way in Milwaukee. He was the other second first round pick that we had. So the those level of players that are when we started this process are starting to show up on our lineup, and that's you're gonna see that for the next number of years because we've done a really good job, I think, of collecting picks and drafting, and we're trying to build a younger core. So for our fans, those are pieces that they're gonna love to in the future, but they're gonna get to see them grow up just as many of the players got to see Shea Weber and Suter grow, Roman Josi grow, Ryan Ellis, those type of players grow up right in front of their eyes. They're gonna get a chance to see a new core in the near future, and that'll continue for the next few years for sure.
Barry, the other news that came out from the franchise last week was Nick Saban becoming a minority owner in the franchise. I'm curious what kind of a role he provides in the day-to-day operations of the franchise.
Well, I will say this, that Nick Saban, and I know that he's a minority owner, and he's got a number of jobs, as you know, and he's got a number of different things, but I think he'll be used as a resource, and we haven't gone through the specifics exactly, but I know that Nick has come and talked to our players. Nick has come and talked to our coaching staff and management staff. He's a winner. He's won. He's got the I listen to a lot of the things he says, and I believe in a lot of things he says. So I think he's going to be a great resource for our staff and our players and accountability through the franchise. Just by, being a part of the ownership, being a part of being available when he's at games. I just think he's got a really good mind for culture and a good mind for coaching. So I think he'll be used in those areas.
Barry, before we let you go, you every week are referencing what's coming up down the pike. You know, the vision of the next, not just what's going on now, but the next few years. I think people would love to hear your take on how you think Brady Martin has done. The World Junior Championships are coming up. That's always a very exciting tournament. He's going to be on Team Canada. What are you seeing from him? What do you think his role will be in this tournament coming up?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to say that I think we've got a great group of prospects at the World Juniors, and I'll touch on a few of them. But I think I want to say it's Utah that have the most prospects in the tournament. It's exciting for management and our scouting staff to have as many prospects in the tournament because they are a pretty good indication of the future that you've got, people in the pipeline. But, obviously everybody's curious about Brady Martin. We have three what we call underagers with Team Canada. I don't know if I know of anybody who's been able to do that in the last couple of years. Brady, Reed, and Ivan Kovic. And it's usually a 19 or 20-year-old tournament. And these guys are just, they're 18-year-olds. So in terms of Brady. He's right now, he looks like he's going to start the tournament with Michael Hage and himself and Gavin McKenna. If the lines stay the same as they were yesterday. If that's the case, that he played with McKenna a couple of preseason games and scored two. And they've got a lot of centermen. Him and Philip Denoyer, the pick before them, they're both playing wing. That's usually in these tournaments. Team Canada, they have a lot of centermen playing the wing. But those two guys are both be playing the wing. And I think Brady's going to have a big impact. He's got that physical edge. He's got that that skill level. I expect he's going to have a really impactful tournament. And his game will translate really well, especially if he's playing with, you know, skilled people like Hage and McKenna. And he'll be that, I'll say a little bit of that lightning rod on that line. It'll bring that little bit of hardness and a little bit of skill that we like him so much for.
Well, Barry, thanks a lot for joining us on game day. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck tonight against Minnesota. Have a great Christmas break, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say to you guys, you guys have a great Christmas. I know that you do such a good job with the coverage with us, and I want to say wish everyone in Smashville a great Christmas, and really we'll see everybody in the new year.
Same to you.
There you go. That's Predators General Manager Barry Trotz, who joins the program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. We thank him for his insight and his willingness to come on to this show. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll react to some of what Barry Trotz had to say on the other side, plus break down the Predators matchup. A tough one tonight against a division opponent in Minnesota. We'll do that all coming up next right here on DVD on 102.5 The Game. There you go. There's the classic Christmas stuff that I like. The old Bing Crosby, the old Frank Sinatra, stuff like that. That's the good stuff. That's where
it's
gotta
at. Mix that in.
Of course, it's Christmas staple. Welcome back in, DVD.
I think it's cutting edge, right, D-Mace? You gotta have the balance. You gotta have the old school.
New school.
With the contemporary. Yeah.
Exactly. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's a perfect
good balance.
Yeah, it's good balance. I mean, he can go up with Chris Brown and get energized, but then, you know, we go back to the we get back to the basics.
Yeah, you get back
Bing
to
Crosby.
The good melody, man.
We just watched White Christmas last night. It's a classic.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I haven't seen that one yet this year.
It's a good one.
Okay. That's another one that if you find the right channel, you'll see that thing on a loop. That thing just goes on with Bing Crosby. I mean, it's always on.
Yeah. Well, Willie, I was informed of the green Gatorade situation. I have to tell you, I think I side with you. It looks very green.
Oh, really?
Oh my
Where
god!
Where have you been for the last year?
Goodness!
Oh no! We got to bring this back. It's been a year.
It looks green. I mean, it may depend
it's
on
green.
The lighting, but it looks green to me in the right
it's
set.
Green.
Oh my goodness! Y'all too.
Man. So now you have a partner in crime if this ever comes
Listen,
back. You just give me a call.
We
I'll
went down that road again, and Willie lost by a resounding number.
Well, he's got me now.
It
I'm
wasn't
a one-man
close.
Army.
It wasn't even close.
It wasn't close.
The Predators.
But I still stand by my eyes. Lemon lime Gatorade is green, not yellow.
It's worth noting I am slightly colorblind, but yes, I agree this is green.
Well, that disqualifies him right there.
That sells it.
You're going to disqualify a handicap?
That's yes, okay. I am. Yes, we are.
Oh, no. Yeah, in this situation,
this situation, a decision's already been made. Yes, we're going to do that.
Yes, we're going to disqualify you.
Well, that's just not nice. The Predators in action tonight, right after we get off the air. They take on their Central Division rivals, the Minnesota Wild. This is a series that is always pretty competitive. These are two teams, I think, that are playing hot hockey at the right time, and they usually end up dropping the gloves. So I'm curious to see how this one goes. Willie, do you think that momentum will play a heavy factor into a Predators victory tonight?
Well, you're only as good as your last game. I think this is a great test because Nashville, if you look at this stretch, they've got some good quality wins. They beat Colorado, right? Very few teams are beating Colorado these days. They also lost at Colorado. They lost two to Carolina. Those are the two, I think, best teams in hockey. They've beaten everybody else, so they have some good wins in there. But Andrew Brunette had a great question asked to him after they got beat by Carolina, the one game they lost this week, and they didn't look good doing it. They looked like they weren't on the same level as Carolina. I'm, number one, curious to see how similar Minnesota looks to Carolina in this game because they've loaded up. Their trade for Quinn Hughes, I mean, I'm trying to think of the equivalent of bringing in a Quinn Hughes in football or baseball, but it's, you know, he might be a guy that elevates the rest of his team as much as anybody other than maybe Connor McDavid or somebody like that. Hughes is an incredible game changer.
Yeah.
And now we see him in their lineup.
Yeah, he's an X factor.
So the question that Andrew Brunette got, guys, is that can you guys – they asked Andrew Brunette, can your team hang with the best teams in hockey? Right? And Andrew Brunette had a great answer. He thought about it for a second. He goes, I think we can, but we have to be on our A game. Basically, in so many words, I'm not using him directly quoting here, but he's basically saying, look, they're not good enough. They don't stack up. If it's A game for Minnesota and A game for Nashville, they might need some bounces if they're going to win. But I think what they've done with the way they're playing, we heard Barry Trotz talking about it, they're adding some layers. They're getting more on the rush now. They're finding ways to make plays. They're getting more goals. They have more confidence in how they're doing it. And so I'm just curious what this looks like in a hostile environment. And they did take Minnesota to overtime last time they were up there. Remember, Steven Stamkos scored in the final second
right.
to tie it. And then they had the controversial ending of the game where the goal got knocked off, which I thought was a really raw deal for the Predators. You know, these two teams tend to play tough, hard-nosed games in the division. So it's a really good test to cap off the pre-Christmas portion of the season because in the back, they were written off, right? D-Mace, we had plenty of discussions. They were written off a few weeks ago. But now, you know, they've been stringing together some good hockey, and we're all kind of curious, is this just a little stretch? Or what are we going to find out? Like, are they going to go back downhill? Or can they stay in this thing for a few more weeks and really make it interesting? The next seven games are on the road. So I think it's like, hey, let's check in after this seven-game road trip. First of all, to see if I'm still kicking or I'm on fumes after all the cities we're about to go to after Christmas. I'm glad we get this time to recharge. But it's going to be a grueling road trip. If they can stay within 2 or 3 points of the wild card at the end of that stretch, then to me it really gets interesting.
That's why I asked Barry, the question of, hey, listen, after this wild game, hopefully they can get a victory in because it seems like the month of December has been really good to this team, and you want to finish the month off right. But after the wild game, they get that three-day break. But then once they hit it, like he said, they're going to be playing basically every 48 hours, and that's going to really be like January and February leading up to their break. That will tell, and let me know if you agree with this, Willie, that will tell where this team may eventually go as we hit the trade deadline.
And I heard you guys were listening to Barry. He still is measured, right? When I asked him about how sustainable this is, he's measured, right? I think he wants to see more. He's encouraged. He's excited that it looks more like it was supposed to look when they started the season. And I think he's excited about the fact that riding it through with Andrew Brunette when everybody around the league was like, you got to make a change. I think he feels a little vindicated that the guys have responded without going to the low-hanging fruit of just changing the coach. I think that's good. But what I hear him focusing all the time on is, where are my young guys? He knows in the big picture, for them to be successful, this young group of players, like Reed Schaefer that you asked about, Connor,
yeah,
like Luke Evangelista and guys like that, have to keep growing. They have to keep growing. That is as important as anything in the big picture. And I think he's willing to see it go either way. If they slide back down and they still need to be sellers, which is where everybody thought they would be a month ago anywhere, that's fine. And if they shock the world and keep moving up the standings, then even better. So we'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah, and I think young players
We love them. We love our old players. We love Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi and Steven Stamkos as well as he's playing right now. But the young players are laying the foundation for the future of the franchise. And it's important to see the growth of those players, like Reed Schaefer, who I think has been playing very productive minutes throughout his tenure so far. Matt Wood is a guy that comes to mind for me.
That's another guy.
Yeah, those you need to see production from those guys, and they continue to grow throughout the game. And that's kind of what makes the NHL so interesting, is you see these guys develop right in front of your eyes. Obviously, there's minor leagues, but there's nothing quite like the speed and the physicality of the big league. So you watch these guys grow with the game right in front of your eyes. I think we're seeing some of that right before us in guys like Schaefer and Wood and Evangelista. And Ozzie Weisblatt, before the injury, I thought he was playing some good hockey. So it is important to see the foundation being laid for the future.
And it's never over, right? D-Mace, you see Luke Evangelista's playing well, but yes, you have to keep doing it, right? The consistency. Is it just a hot streak, or has he really gotten to a next level to where he can be counted on as a guy that really is a top six guy? I think we were all skeptical that he was true top six. I think we all saw him more top nine, but his numbers have really taken a jump, and it's encouraging. I heard Andrew Burnett say more than once, he seems to be blossoming, evolving right in front of our eyes here. And that is a big thing. They need a few more of those stories, right? Last year, the entire year, you're waiting for somebody, one of the young players, to pop, right? Give us something to lean on. But you mentioned, you know, Matt Wood's had some nice stretches. Schaefer looks encouraging, and he's just scratching the surface. Same thing with Wood. Wood's the youngest of any of them at 20, and they're making some contributions. Where does it go, right? Is it just a little bit of, will they come back down? I've seen plenty do it. But if they can ride it through and make it all the way to the end without hitting the wall, then that's encouraging not only for this season but for the coming seasons.
And I think what he has been talking about for the longest, and, you know, listen, it's hard to be patient at times, but Barry has shown the utmost patience with this team because he understands that, unlike other sports, it takes time for these young guys because they sort of got to filter through the minor leagues, and then you got to get them up, and then you got to continue and hope that they, you know, have developed enough where they can be consistent to stay on the roster. I think you're starting to see that now with a few of those younger guys, and what he's hoping is more of those younger guys start to come on. So what he talked about 2 years ago about, you know, the process and getting these younger, it starts to come into view now because you see the Reed Schaefers or Evangelistas, guys like that, that are now producing. Are they lighting up the world? No, but they're producing. And I think you're looking at it from a, you know, what will they look like next year if they continue to do the things they're doing this year? And I think Barry sees it. He wants to be measured in it, but I think he's encouraged by what he's seeing from those younger guys.
That indeed, Preds in action right after us, pregame starting at 6 p.m. with the suit, Chase McCabe, and then Max Herz and Hal Gill on the call live from Minneapolis. Or is it St. Paul? Correct me if I'm wrong, Willie. I think it's St. Paul.
The arena is in St. Paul.
That's right.
The team has started to stay in Minneapolis. Where, for years, I never saw Minneapolis, the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
But Andrew Burnett prefers, he's spent a lot of his professional career in Minnesota with the Wild as a player and a coach and an assistant GM. And so I'm glad he's helped us discover a little bit of Minneapolis, right by Target Field, and where, I mean, the Viking Stadium's right there.
Yeah, I've heard it's beautiful.
T-Wolves play there. The Wild are the only one that play over in St. Paul, but they have a great facility over there.
Right next to the St. Paul Saints, AAA affiliate of the Minnesota
That's
Twins.
Right.
Willie, I know you
Pete
got...
Pete Weber still wants me to try out for the St. Paul Saints.
I think you should.
Left-hand pitcher.
Go ahead and get it.
I think
Willie.
You still got the gas.
Warm that rotator up and go ahead.
I think you still got the gas.
Slowest.
Willie, I know you got some uncle duties you got to take care of, so Merry Christmas to you. Enjoy the time with your family. And thanks for letting me do this with you today.
Yeah, thanks, Connor. You did a great job. And D-Mace,
yes,
Merry Christmas to you. You know, we've become pretty tight over these last few years that we've been working together. I just want to thank everybody at our staff and our listeners for the support that you guys have given me. It's been a tough year, you know, but I got my family with it. And last night I judged the the gingerbread house contest between my niece and nephew. You want to talk about a tough call, trying to judge who had the better gingerbread house? I had to come up with some way to make a tie. I couldn't choose one over the other. You know, that was tough. So I don't know what we got.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins. Yeah.
But, Willie, I want to say Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I know this time of year, it's tough for you. I know it. But know you got friends here in Nashville while you're away that are thinking about you and wishing nothing but the best for you and your family. I know Erin will be missed, especially on this day, man.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she's still there with you. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you'll feel on Christmas morning when you wake up. So we want to say from the station, we love you, Willie. And we love your family, and we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your phones and texts. We'll talk a little hoops on the other side, since it's just me and D-Mace. DVD here with you on 1025 The Game. D-Mace's girl, Fantasia, bringing us back. I thought it was Lauryn Hill. I was close, but... It is Fantasia. 1025 is your home for the Mutual Liberty Music City Bowl on Tuesday, December 30th. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Pickers Vodka and Beyond the Edge Sports Bar. Welcome back, DVD, here on 1025 The Game. One final segment before we send you off to Chase McCabe to get you set for Predators and Wild coming up with Puck Drop at 7 o'clock. Since it's just me and D-Mace with about 6 minutes to kill, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Has the NBA on Christmas Day lost its luster?
Wow.
What a question.
I ask you as someone who has watched Jordan and Magic and Bird and Kobe and all of these guys play on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. and the NBA on Christmas Day was a spectacle. Now,
yes.
I mean, I will probably watch some of these games, but it doesn't hit as much for me.
That's because, and listen, there are marquee players, you know, on Christmas Day that are going to miss. Shea Alexander is probably, you know, not taking anything away from LeBron, but Shea, he's the reigning MVP.
Yeah,
his team just
he's
won
the best player in
exactly.
the world right
his
now.
His team just won an NBA championship. Sound like Stephen A. there. But they still have marquee names, but it's just now those other names that we've been so used to and accustomed to seeing, whether it's LeBron, whether it was Steph, guys like that are now getting older.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that are now being, you know, superseded by Shea Alexander or, you know, the kid in Cleveland, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell or, you know, the Knicks in their ball club. And obviously San Antonio with Wimby. There are new names now. And I'm not sure, because when, you know, when Jordan and then was phasing out, here comes, you know, LeBron and, not LeBron, but
Kobe.
Here comes Kobe and Shaq and then some other guys. And then, and then once they started to segue, here's LeBron and Steph.
Right.
And
KD.
And those teams were great, you know, they were, you know, Golden State was winning championship after championship, so people wanted to see the Lakers and Golden State play each other on Christmas Day. It was a marquee matchup. Now, they do have a marquee matchup this year. I think that OKC and San Antonio game may be better than the first time they played them.
Yeah, in OKC.
When they
time.
Won it, I think they won in overtime. San Antonio ended up winning in overtime or late in the game.
Yeah.
But they still have the it's just the matchups are not what – they used to be. Still good matchups, but it's just the Lakers now isn't the Lakers
right
4 or 5 years ago.
I think some of it is there were less teams back then.
Uh-huh.
Now there are 30 teams, and the talent is more widespread across the league. When you back in that era, it was, you know, the Bulls were always competitive. The Lakers were always competitive.
The Pistons,
the Celtics, all of these teams that
the Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks. All these teams that your grandfather cheered for. Now they're still competitive. Like the Knicks and the Cavs play. Mm-hmm. That'll be a good game. Both are good teams. But now you have these new age teams like the Thunder and the Mavericks are kind of emerging with their young pieces and Cooper Flagg. And you still have the Lakers and the Celtics.
But it's almost like a...
Yeah, it's different.
It's a good Laker team, but it's not the Laker team that, like...
Yeah.
When I'm thinking of the Lakers playing on Christmas, I'm thinking they are a top-tier team. And it hadn't been that way for a couple of years. I get it. And maybe that's why I've watched less and less of NBA on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Because the matchups aren't what they used to be. Teams are good. Players, they're... But it's just not like it was. And I'm not even talking about in the Jordan days. I'm talking, you know, early in LeBron years, Steph, when they were going back and forth when Golden State and, you know, whoever LeBron played for, whether it was Cleveland or Miami, they were going at it. So I think we missed some of that, but you still got some great matchups in there. Like I said, the Cleveland and New York game is going to be an outstanding game. They play that in Madison Square Garden. If you've never been to Madison Square Garden, you need to go
because
that's an iconic venue. It's not the greatest of venues.
That's bucket list.
But
though.
It's a bucket list
There's
venue.
So much history that's happened in that building. But I think you're right. I think some of it is the game has changed, too, to where it's a more offensive style of basketball. Not that to say that they don't play defense. I mean, there are cases where they don't. But it's such a different game than what it was 5-10 years ago. Sometimes it's hard for me to find interest in it. That's why I kind of defect to college basketball, but mainly because, you know, I love my Kentucky Wildcats. But, you know, it's hard for me to compare the two because I prefer one over the other. But I am going to partake in Christmas Day this year. I am going to watch some of these games. I mean, and it's a full slate. It's like five games.
Yeah, you got. Like I said, you start off with the Knicks in Cleveland. You got San Antonio, and who did I just say the San Antonio was playing?
OKC.
OKC and San Antonio's OKC. Then you got Golden State playing. You got Denver playing Minnesota, which should be a good matchup.
They always get. Really,
Lakers are playing Houston, I believe.
That's KD versus LeBron. That's a fun one.
That should be a fun one, but it's just not like, man, it's lost some of its luster.
Yeah.
Not, I still love the game of basketball. I still love the NBA, but Christmas Day isn't what it used to be.
Right, and I think maybe it's because there's more games. Because I remember when I was a kid, I'm going to sound so young here. I remember the whole talk of the day was. Oh, LeBron and the Cavs are playing the Warriors. They were just in the finals.
That's
last
all you
year.
Cared about.
And it was a great game. It's in Cleveland this year, and it went down to the wire. That's all I remember. And I remember Derrick Rose for the Bulls on Christmas Day. Now I have to look up who's playing because I don't remember. Like, there's not this gripping
like who wants
thing.
To see Dallas and Golden State play? Like, seriously,
Dallas and Golden State.
Fans. I mean, that's about it. I mean, Golden State. An okay average team this year.
Right.
Dallas, a below average team. So who wants to see those two? Again, who wants to see an average to a below average team play on Christmas Day?
Regardless.
Yes.
Christmas Day on NBA as a part
on
of.
Is it NBC? ABC.
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 Usually ABC.
Yeah, it's ABC.
D-Mace, it's been a blast.
Absolutely.
Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, Connor.
Hope you enjoy time with your family.
Same to you. Don't rush too fast. Over to your,
I will
your
not,
nephews, okay?
I want to see
your cousins. Of your cousins.
Course, of course. That'll do it for us here on DVD for Willie Donick and Derek Mason. My name is Connor Newt saying so long. Merry Christmas to you. We'll see you next week here on 102.5 The Game. Preds and Wild pregame coming up with Jason McCabe right after this.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Christmas. I love you. The team loves you. You hear this music. We will see you next week. Next week at 3 p.m. on Monday on 102.5 The Game. Peace.